Welcome to Wiley United Methodist Church this morning. Glad you're here. You feel the Holy Spirit this morning? Was that not awesome, the kids? I don't know how many were there, but at least a dozen. All right, if you are visiting with us this morning, maybe your first time, maybe you've tried us before, but you've never let us know who you are, we invite you. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. I invite you to fill that out and let us know. I promise we won't harass you or anything like that, but we'd like to know that you're here. And there's a box there that you can put your email address on and check the little box if you'd like to be added to our email list. You'll be hearing more about this later, but we also have a Wiley Methodist app. Can I say amen? Just anybody with amen? Again, Wiley, I'll explain that to you later. We've got an app is on the way, so we'll be having that along with the new text to give. They're kind of go hand in hand there. If you would turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Now, I'm reading this out of the New King James Version. It's very similar to most of us learn this psalm through the King James Version. The New King James just takes out all the maketh and all of those old English words, but it'll read very similar to what you probably are familiar with. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm going to say that again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. You are welcome here. Not only are you welcome here, but we yearn for you to be here. We ache for you to be here. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak in power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week I started the sermon series on Psalm 23, Life Lessons for Sheep. Life Lessons for Sheep. And we looked at each week for the next 5 weeks, we'll be going verse by verse through this psalm. I did this similar message about the similar series about 5 years ago. Last week, we took verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And just to kind of summarize last week, we learned that we are what? That David is writing this psalm from the perspective of a sheep. And we also learned that that's not really all that flattering, because sheep are kind of dumb. I'm not calling you dumb, but I mean, I fall in that category many times. They're kind of dumb and helpless. And so they need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. If you just turn them loose, you got chaos. They need a shepherd. And Jesus, we learned last week that Jesus is the good shepherd, and he cares for his sheep. And we also learned that if we want to receive contentment in our lives, we must surrender to the good shepherd. And contentment follows. Today we'll look at verse 2, peace. Peace. Verse 2 says, he will make me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, as I said, I preached this series, a similar series, about 5 years ago. Now, after week one of this series, and I identified that we are sheep and pointed that out. You guys being the great people that you are, I received a gift that week. If you're here and you gave me this sheep, tell me. Nobody there is sitting on their hands. I've received the sheep last time I did this series, and I have displayed that. People that come into my office think, I've got Mr. Potato Heads and I've got sheep, and they think this guy is losing it, man. Well, then that was the second week. Then, again, being just the loving people that you are, the next week I got this. Now the kids that come into my office really like this one. Let's see. Fire this one right up here. Let's see if we can hear it here. Oops, wrong one. Now, I won't say who gave me that, but his initials are David Gist. I told David that he made my sermon today, and there you go, David. I'm telling you, man, this is popular with my kids that come in to see me. And then the next week, I had a family that thought, they said, well, we're the black sheep, so we probably ought to have a black sheep in the collection. So if you're thinking about giving me any gifts, no more sheep, okay? So this series, there's a book that I want to introduce you to, and it's an older book, but it's really interesting book, and I've learned a lot about sheep from this book, and I've learned a lot about why David wrote this psalm referring to himself and to us as sheep. The book is called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And it's by a man named Philip Keller. I'm not sure that Mr. Keller is even alive today. It's, like I said, it's an older book. But Keller points out, to begin with, he points out that sheep are not natural-born sleepers. They struggle to sleep. And in order for sheep to lie down to rest, he said four things must be present, must be happening. And I'm going to list those for you. I think it's in your handout if you want to fill that out and follow along. But first, the sheep must be free from the fear of attack. Free from the fear of attack. He talked about Mr. Keller. Keller was actually a sheep herder. He wrote this psalm from the perspective, he had, for many years, he had raised sheep, and he had been a modern-day sheep herder. And he said that there was one instance where two wild dogs got loose in his flock of sheep, and before he could get in there to stop them, these two wild dogs had killed 247 sheep in one night. Sheep, you know, you heard about sleeping with one. I guess that's why we count sheep, is because, never mind, that's a bad joke. But sheep to rest, they must be free from the fear of attack. They must know that they are safe. Now, as I'm walking through these, see if anything's kind of maybe vaguely sounding familiar. And then secondly, the sheep must be free from friction and tension within the flock. You know, I think about this I just want to say again at this point how thankful I am for this church, because in my 14 years here, I have had to put out very few quote fires where people are fussing with one another. And I don't even remember who this was. You may be in the room, but a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we had someone was their first meeting on one of our boards, and we had our board meeting, and everything went kind of normal and good, and we did our business and laughing and having a good time while we were doing our business. Then we were walking out of the room, and this person was fairly new to our church, and it was their first meeting, and they said, "Are all your meetings like that?" And I really didn't know what they're doing. I was like, yeah, pretty much. And he said, the church I came from, if you weren't bleeding when you left, you hadn't been there. Now, that's sad. That's sad. When we can't, as Christians, when we can't come together, and sometimes we don't always agree on stuff, but when we can't come together and treat each other as Christ would treat us, that's sad. But so he's, Keller is saying that the flock has to have freedom from friction and tension within the very own flock. If there's a troublemaker in the flock, nobody sleeps, nobody rests. And it's damaging to the flock. Are you hearing me? Shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. The friction within the flock is damaging to the whole flock. Third thing, the sheep must be free from aggravations. And he talked about how, if there's gnats or flies and just those little nagging little aggravations that there could be no rest for the sheep. And that's, again, it goes back to the good shepherd being the one that takes care of those aggravations. And then finally he said, in order for the sheep to rest, they had to be free from hunger. Their physical needs had to be met. They had to be well fed and watered and all that. And that, again, he points out, that was the job of the shepherd, to make sure those needs were met. So as I was talking down through that, I think we can all see that these things don't just apply to sheep, but they apply to us, don't they? So this Keller, one of his observations, and I wrote this down because I wanted you to hear it, a direct quote. He said, in the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. Don't you love that? The sheep were most quieted and reassured when they had their eye on the shepherd, when they could see the shepherd, and they could see that he was there, that his presence was with the flock. The good shepherd, Jesus, provides peace. You know, I say it a lot, and I don't want you to think, I don't think the world is, you know, it's a horrible place to exist or anything, because I love life. I love life. I love laughing. If you've been around here very long, you know what a goober I am sometimes. But I love laughing and having fun, but all at the same time, life is tough. In the midst of the joy of life, life is also tough. And so what we hopefully are learning that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is our source for peace. As Billy pointed out in the prayer earlier, not peace that comes with circumstances, not when all of our circumstances line up just perfectly. It's like, oh, okay, I can have peace today because there's plenty in the bank and everybody's well and everybody's getting along and my marriage is good and my job is good. And all these things are lining up. So it's like, oh, I have peace today. No, God's word says peace that passes understanding, transcends circumstances. That peace is the peace that the good shepherd provides. And the good shepherd wants you to have that peace. He wants you to lie down in green pastures. He wants you to be filled by the living water. And guess what? He is the living water. So the question arises, at least to me, is how do we do that? How do we do that? And I want to start off by saying this before I get into my points. Sometimes you have to fight for peace. I mean, you have to bear down and just fight for it. It's like, I am not going to let the circumstances of life overwhelm me because I have a good shepherd. And you just have to bear down and you just have to, Lord, I need you to show up. I need your peace in my life. Everything, the waves are crashing in. You know, it's interesting that it's not the scripture we're talking about today, but the scripture where the Jesus and the disciples are out in the boat and the storm is crashing in on them. The disciples are running around. Ah, You know, they're like, we're going to die. We're all going to die. And Jesus is taking a nap. I want that peace. That's what I want. When the waves of life are crashing in, I want that peace. And Jesus is saying, you want that peace? I'm the man. I'm the source. So how do we get there? First, we surrender to the leadership and care of the Good Shepherd. We, and this kind of beckons back to the series I did a month or so ago, the Lord series. We're letting Jesus be Lord of our circumstances, letting him be Lord of our life. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus says. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know, Keller, again, I'm going to refer back and forth throughout this series back to this book. Keller points out, he talks about this, I'm going to call it the discontented you. He talks about this you, and he said it was one of the most beautiful yous in the whole flock. I mean, not you like you, but you, okay. Some of you are following me. EWE for you slower people in the group, okay? This ewe was just beautiful and had everything. It had this big, beautiful coat and was healthy and big and strong. And he said, one of the things that I prided myself in as a shepherd, he said, I prided myself in, I had the best fields in the whole region. My sheep were blessed sheep, he says. He said, man, I've made sure they had good, clean water. I made sure they had the finest crops to graze upon. I made sure that there was places there where they were safe. I made sure that they could get in the shade when they needed to get in the shade. And he said, I provided the best fields in the region. But I had this ewe that always would go up to the fence. And he said, by the way, my neighbors, their fields paled in comparison. I guess he was bragging a little bit. Paled in comparison to my fields. And he said, this ewe would get up to the fence and would stick her head over the fence and would look longingly at this other field. We're not talking about just sheep, are we? This sheep would longingly look at the other, and then when it had enough and it just couldn't stand anymore, it'd break through the fence and it would go to this other field, and it would try to always trying to escape the blessing of the rich field that the shepherd had provided. And what's worse, he said, this ewe taught that behavior to the other sheep around her. And then they started breaking through the fence, ruining the fence. He was constantly having to chase all of them down. But he knew the source was this discontented ewe. And guess what? The discontented ewe became supper. Hello. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to what? To death. We are always seemed, it's like, Mom, if I just do that. I mean, if I could just have all of that money. How many, you know, we see these people who win the lottery. How many stories have you read about people who win the lottery? And a year later, 2 years later, they're a mess. You know, we're just always like, if I just had some more money, if I just had more, you know, prestige, if more respect, more friends, more this, more that, we're saying, bigger house, faster car, all these things. You know, if we're always longing for what's in the other field, when Jesus, our good shepherd, has provided us the ultimate grazing ground, place of peace and contentment. And it led, for this ewe, it led to death. It led to her, it literally led to her death. Second way we get there, embrace the peace that the shepherd provides. Embrace the peace that the shepherd provides. You know, I've told the story, but it's been a long time ago. I want to tell you again. You know, for me growing up in the church, for the first 30 years of my life, and I just missed it. If you're here this morning, I don't want you to miss it. And what I missed was I somehow had it in my mind that the Christian journey was just about being a good person, going to church and serving and, you know, doing notice who gets that glory if I carried that out is me. But what happens is when we think that we inevitably fail at being good. And when that changed for me, I went on a walk to Emmaus. That's when God, that can happen for people in many different ways. But for me, I went on a walk to Emmaus, and God showed me that He loved me. Good, bad, indifferent. He loves me. And at that point in my life, I was a mess. I really was. I was just a mess. I was trying to live up to all of this stuff, and I was failing. And Cheryl and I will be, we share this happily with anybody that wants to know our story. But only by the grace of God was that lady still married to me, because I was a lousy husband. And I remember that weekend. After that weekend was over, I was just overwhelmed. I was bursting with the love of God. Was bursting. And I remember, and this was a long time ago. This was 25 years ago. Our girls were 4 and 2. That's how long ago it was. They were 4 and 2. And I remember walking into the house, and I was just feeling so overwhelmed with the goodness and the peace of my good shepherd. And all the blessings that he had right in front of me. And I remember gathering up Cheryl and the girls, and again, they're just a big bear hug, and I just gathered them up, and I'm thinking, it's like it was yesterday. It was 25-something years ago, and I gathered them up on the couch, and I just wept like a big old baby. Uncontrollably, I just wept at the goodness and the peace and the love and the joy that was bursting out of me because God is my good shepherd. And I remember Kirby was 4, and she said, "Daddy, why are you crying? Why are you crying?" And I said, "Daddy's just happy, sweetie. Daddy's just happy." That's what I want for you, and that's what the good shepherd wants for you. Just to be bursting with his goodness and the peace that provides. And here's the deal. The world is working against that. Pressures and illness and stress and broken relationships and tragedies and on, it works against that. But the good shepherd works for that. He wants us to be happy and content and rest in him. Third thing, identify your green pastures and still waters. What that means is to identify and proactively, intentionally pursue the things in life that Christ has provided that replenish you. And I'll tell you, part of you guys are part of that answer for me. You guys are part of, because people can drain us too, right? But people can also replenish us. And God uses many of you to be that for me. Identify ways to pursue God and to pursue those things that replenish us. And part of that is coming to church. Get in a Sunday school class. Get in a community group. Those are not just things that we can check off and go, "Oh, look at that. We've got more people in community groups now. Oh, man, isn't the bishop going to be proud?" It isn't about that. It's about nourishing our soul. And I don't know about you, but I need that. I need my soul nourished all the time because this world drains us. Secondly, seek out ways that God fills your cup. Here's the deal. The scripture that talks about that Jesus fills our cup, here's the problem. If we're the cup, we leak. Hello, anybody, is this on? Anybody listening? We leak. And the world is constantly jabbing holes in our cup. You ever got one of those? You go to the store and you go fill up your drink and there's a hole down in the bottom and it's like you're walking back to the table and you got to You know, you're leaving a little trail of Dr. Pepper or whatever. I've done that. We leak. We need to constantly be filling our cup with Jesus, because we're either getting tomorrow. Here's the deal, and this is, there's not many things that I can say that's absolutely positively true, but this is one. Tomorrow, you will be closer or further away to Jesus than you are today. Hello. It's just the way it works. You'll be closer or farther away from every relationship in your life, because relationships are not static. They're moving all the time. If we don't nurture those relationships in our lives, we're losing ground. It's just the way it works. I tell people when I do premarital counseling, I'm like, I'm not trying to depress you or anything, but you got to work at this. It's not just, oh, you know, I do, and you cut the cake and take a few pictures and you ride off into the sunset. No, it's work, because it's a relationship. People are involved. You know, us people, we ruin everything, don't we? It'd be a piece of cake. This world would be a piece of cake if we didn't mess it up. We're always messing it up, because that's what people do. We're not perfect. Anybody seen our sign out front? Never mind. You look at it when you leave. Kind of ties in with that. We leak, church, and we must constantly be filling our cup. Now, here's one. I know my Gemini twins over here will love this. You saw it on the outline, didn't you? You were waiting for it. Don't be a joy sucker. They like it when I say joy sucker. That's twice I've said it now. I'm not through. We should love all people, but if someone is a joy sucker, you don't want to spend every minute with that joy sucker, because what happens is, next thing you know, we're trying to jump the fence or breaking through the fence, because that goof of you was breaking through the fence, was not content. So we want to surround ourselves. It doesn't mean treat joy suckers meanly. They're probably something going on there, the reason they're a joy sucker. You're counting. How many am I up to yet? Six? Okay. But so it's not about being mean to people that don't have joy for life. It is about filling our cup with Jesus and good and positive things. And that's why I say, just, you know, and get into God's word and come worship and be with God's people. Keller tells another story that's interesting. He was leading his sheep one time he had actually prepared this water hole. He had dug into a natural spring, and he said this is the best watering hole around, because the water was cool, it was clean, and he had it prepared for his sheep. And he's leading them down this path to this clean and cool water, and they were getting thirsty on the way. And he said, I'm not kidding you not, some of my sheep were going off the side trail, and there were hoof prints that from prior flocks going by that had a little bit of water down in the bottom of the hoof prints, and they were drinking out of the muddy hoof prints. And he was wanting to say to them, hey, there's cool spring water just right down the road. Follow me. How many of us have drank out of muddy footprints when the living water is available to us? Peace. God is our good shepherd, and he wants his sheep to be at peace. So I gave you homework. Anybody do their homework last week? Two. No. Maybe a few more of you did. Last week, I asked you to memorize verse 1. Did anybody try to memorize verse 1? Just a little bit? A few of you. A few of you did. Psalm 23 is a great psalm to just have in our mind that we can call up whenever we need it. So I'm trying to teach it to you as we go through this series. So last week, I asked you to memorize it. One good, great way to memorize anything is to write it out. So I asked you to write it out, and I asked you to write one thing each day that you were blessed for. And I actually got some feedback from one person that said, I got a problem with your homework. I said, what's that? Just remembered who this was. He said, I got a problem with your homework. I need more lines on my blessing for each day. And you know who that was? I said, I don't think she'd mind me telling you. Peggy Young. Those of y'all who know, Peggy has cancer surgery tomorrow. Second time through cancer. And I went and prayed with her this weekend about her surgery. And she's the one that told me, that's my problem. I got too many blessings to write on one line. That's the peace that the Good Shepherd provides. Because her husband, Gerald, is on the tail end of cancer treatments. And she's going into cancer treatments for the second time. So this week, very similar, I want you to memorize verse 2. If you didn't memorize verse 1, then stack them together. They're both short. Write it out. Say it at least once a day. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Say it with me. It's right up there. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Memorize that along with verse 1. Write it out. I want you to write an example each day where your green pastures and still waters are. Things that replenish your soul. And it could be fun things. I mean, it's not always, you know, religious things. It may be playing music. It may be playing golf. Things that replenish our soul. Write those things down. And pray daily that the Lord would lead you to those places of replenishment, those places of rest and peace. Let's just bow your heads with me for a moment. Father, I thank you that you are indeed the Good Shepherd. And we confess that we need you. Too many times we are the discontented you, always longing for something we don't have when everything we need is right at our feet. We confess that to you. We ask you that you'd teach us how. You'd teach us where those green pastures and still waters are and teach us how to incorporate those into our lives. We thank you for the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close today, the praise team, if you guys will come on up. As we close with the song today, I'm going to baptize Ava and Lily in just a moment. I hope you'll stay for that and celebrate with those two precious girls and their families. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life, if you don't know what I'm talking about, man, I love having those conversations. If you've got questions, hard questions. I like the hard ones. I like the hard ones. Bring me some hard questions. And let's talk. Let's stand as we close. Is it, we had, the ice cubes have melted. I'm sorry. Is that okay? Okay. More giggling. I love it. So you've answered the questions that you want Jesus in your heart. And so I ask you the last question. Do you want to be baptized in that faith, Lily? Yeah. Amen. If you'll sit right there, I'm going to wait for moms and dads, everybody, family to come up. Now, if y'all are wanting this on video, you might kind of like Noah here, or Moses. That's a joke. It's an old joke from way back. Okay, everybody up here? Can everybody see? All right. Lily, hold your nose, sweetie. Lily, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's okay to clap. Yeah. Stay right there. All right, y'all want to come in? If you can reach her, put a hand on a head or a shoulder or something. If you can't, touch one in front of you. Father, we thank you that you love Lily. We thank you that she loves you back. We thank you that you died on a cross for her, and that we invite now your Holy Spirit to come and live inside of her, that she would be the young lady, she'd grow up to be the young lady that you have called her to be, God. Just may your Holy Spirit just be oozing out of her, God, everywhere she goes. May she have an impact. Bless these families in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, young lady, you can go dry off. It's sister's turn. All right, I'm going to, one more time, if y'all part, just so y'all can get the video. That's the only reason. And then you can come back in after we pray. If you'll stand right there for just a second. There we go, where everybody can see you. Okay, Ava, I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked Lily, that you've already professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, invited him into your heart. Do you wish to be baptized in that faith? Amen. If you'll sit, hold your nose. Ava, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Now y'all can swing in. You got your peeps here, man. All right. Lord, we give thanks for Ava. And we rejoice because we know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. Lord, I just pray that that you would send your Holy Spirit to live inside of Ava. God, that she would, every inch of her heart would belong to you. Every inch of her mind would belong to you. Father, that she would be filled with your Holy Spirit and that she would grow up to be the young lady you've called her to be. Bless these families in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, church, go. And function in the peace of the Good Shepherd. We are dismissed. Go and tell someone.
I'm desperate for you. My day.